Well, have you ever felt like you were going to drown, I wonder? I did when I was about eight years old. We were on a family holiday in Canada, and we were staying on in a cabin by a lake, and I was playing on one of those inflatable... Oh, there's a picture. There we go. Something like that, an inflatable boat, a bit like that. And I dived off the side, and I loved swimming underwater, so I sort of swam around in the lake for a bit, and then I came up underneath, in the middle of the boat. And sort of there was about that much air just underneath. And so I was kind of swimming out of breath, and I began to panic. And another slide, actually. I was underwater, just that much. The water was kind of going in my mouth. I had an inch of air, and I couldn't get out. I was trying to push it up to get it out, but I couldn't. I just couldn't. I was just pushing myself down into the water. I couldn't cry out for help. No one would hear me from under there. I thought I was going to die. I was really panicking. And so I just sort of took one final breath and then swam down again underneath and managed to come out again into the open air. And I'm here today, so as you can tell. But it was really scary. I don't know if you've ever had anything like that. Or some kind of experience of feeling like you might drown or nearly drowning. Well, for Jonah, I mean, it was so much worse, wasn't it, for Jonah? Do you remember where we left him last time? He was in the sea, sinking down and down. He'd run away from God and what God wanted him to do. And God sent this storm on the boat. And he knew that the storm was his fault. And they were all going to die because of Jonah. And so he told the sailors, throw me overboard. It's my fault. Throw me in and you'll be okay. And that will save you. And so there he is. They did that. And there he is in the sea. Drowning. Sinking. Down and down. He's doomed. Just have a look down at the reading. At some of the words he uses, right from verse 1 of this prayer that he says, in my distress, he talks about deep in the realm of the dead, the depths, the heart of the seas, your waves and breakers swept over me, banished from your sight, engulfing waters threatened me, the deep surrounded me, seaweed was wrapped around my head, to the roots of the mountains I sank down, the earth beneath barred me in forever. Isn't it powerful? It just captures how horrendous it must have felt to be drowning in the sea there. And you can imagine his arms and his legs sort of slowing down their thrashing and his lungs bursting, and he slips from consciousness, knowing that he's lost, knowing that he's going to die, knowing that he deserves it. Because it was God, wasn't it, who commanded the storm. And it's God who he has rebelled against. He's hopeless, he's helpless, he's guilty, and he's doomed. Because he rebelled against God's word. I wonder if you remember back to the first sermon we had, if you were here, that Louis preached on Jonah. And Louis said, sin comes with a storm attached. And so we need to be really clear that sin, that if you are suffering at the moment, if you suffer in some particular way, that doesn't mean that you have sinned in a particular way and that is causing your suffering. It's not what goes around comes around or karma. But sin comes with a storm. And each of us, each one of us, just like Jonah, deserves to sink down into the depths and face the awesome and terrifying and final judgment of God. Because each of us has rejected God, just like Jonah did, and rebelled against him. In the 18th century, there was a Puritan, actually, as Lou was saying about the last of the Puritans, but this was an earlier one called Jonathan Edwards. He was a preacher. And he once preached this very famous sermon that you might have heard of called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And it's quite something to read. But in it, he says this to anyone in the congregation there who hadn't yet trusted in Jesus. He says, however you may have reformed your life in many things, and may have had religious experiences, and may keep up a form of religion in your families and in the house of God, it is nothing but his mere pleasure that keeps you from this moment being swallowed up in everlasting destruction. Jonathan Edwards says, if you're not a Christian, the only thing that is keeping you from facing inescapable and final judgment that Jonah faced there, the only thing that's keeping you from that is God's mere pleasure. It's God keeping you alive. We sort of think, don't we, that we have a right to life. We deserve to be alive. We have something good about us. We have a human right before God to be alive and not to be judged. But it's not the case. The reason we are here this morning is simply that God has given us today. God has given us this time, life for now, and he's delayed his judgment for now. But it will come. His judgment will come one day, and we don't know when that will be. And we deserve to be like Jonah, sinking down under the weight and drowning in God's right judgment. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. That is Jonah's situation here at the beginning of chapter 2, and that is us, our deserved fate as well. Inescapable doom and destruction. We cannot do anything to escape. But. Sorry, I probably should have moved on. There we go, there's a picture of Jonah. And, oh yes, here we go. But. What we could never do, and what Jonah could never do, God can do. So have a look at verse 17 of chapter 1. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Now when you first heard the story of Jonah, perhaps you were a child, but perhaps you weren't. I wonder what you made of that. God provided a huge fish. Did you think, what? I thought we were reading a bit of history, and suddenly it's become a fairy story. It's just impossible for a fish to do that for you to survive inside, isn't it? Well, you might have thought that the first time, and you might be thinking that right now. But if you think that's unbelievable, then wait till you get to the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The Bible describes God as the God who is not limited by anything at all except his own character. So he can't do wrong because he's God, but that is as far as his limitations go. He's only limited by his own character. He made everything. He sustains everything. He can turn water into wine. He can cure diseases. He can raise the dead to everlasting life. And if he can do those things, then he can save Jonah by causing a fish to swallow him whole and keep him alive inside the fish for 3 days. And the important thing about this act of God is that it is only God. It is all God. And Jonah does nothing at all. He was just dying and crying out. Dying and crying. And he cried out to God and God rescued him. It's all God. Now, Jonah acknowledges this, doesn't he? Have a look at verse 6. So he's inside the fish now and he's praying this prayer. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever, but you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. You, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. Now if God had provided a lump of wood from the ship, or a barrel, or something like that, for Jonah to cling onto and float to the shore, Jonah would have been able to say, well, that was just good luck. That was just me holding on strong and my self-belief kept me going until I got to the shore. But a fish swallowing Jonah whole from nowhere, that's a completely impossible miracle. It can only be God. It's all God. It must be. And so it's the same for us. It's the same for us. God has provided a rescue for us. But rescuing us from that judgment that we deserve, that we've talked about, for our sin, that's much more costly than rescuing a prophet from the water. See, our rejecting God cannot just be ignored. Someone had to pay the price. Someone had to sink down to the realm of the dead and face the infinite anger of God. And it should have been you. And it should have been me. But it wasn't. It was Jesus. Should have another slide. As Jesus hung on the cross, he could have been saying those words that we've read, that Jonah said. He could have been saying, "You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas. All the currents swirled about me. All your waves and your breakers swept over me. My God, why have you forsaken me?" God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus perished instead of you and me. Jesus paid it all. That's what we've just sung, isn't it? Jesus paid it all to rescue us. And the thing that's related to Jonah and the fish is that this is all Jesus. We play no part in that rescue at all. All we do is cry out to him and he rescues us. Salvation is from the Lord. So, if you have never cried out to the Lord, do it now. Do it now. Only God's mere pleasure is keeping you from the destruction you deserve. So cry out to him. He has given you a rescuer. He has provided. Accept that you have rejected him and have nothing to offer, and put your trust in Jesus, the wonderful Saviour who gave up everything for you. So if you haven't, cry out to God. If you have, then you're just like Jonah in the fish. And this becomes your prayer. This becomes our prayer. You, Lord God, brought my life up from the pit. You, my God, have saved me from my deserved doom, my deserved destruction. What mercy, what grace. Salvation comes from the Lord. That is the song of the Christian, isn't it? So praise him. We're going to sing again in a bit. That's one thing we can do, isn't it? Sing about his grace and mercy. Then the final part of Jonah's prayer for us to think about is the beginning of verse 9. So have a look at that. "But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good." See, God's rescue has changed Jonah. God's rescue has changed Jonah. He is resolved now to obey God, where before he was completely disobeying God. And as we'll see in a couple of weeks, he does go on to Nineveh and he preaches according to God's word. He is transformed from a man who runs away from God, who goes down into the boats, as far away from God as he can be, rejecting what God wants him to do. And he's transformed into a man who is willing to go into a risky, life-threatening kind of place and preach a dangerous message to a dangerous people, because God tells him to. He's transformed. Now we will see that he's not the finished article. And I'm sure if you know the story of Jonah, you'll know that. He's not the finished article, even now. But he is transformed from a rebel into someone who is willing to do what God wants and who's obedient. So the question for us then is, have you been transformed by God's rescue of you. Tim Keller, in this book called The Prodigal God, which I very warmly recommend, by the way, he's talking about grace, the grace of Jesus on the cross. And he tells a story about this woman he met once. He says, "Some years ago, I met a woman who began coming to Redeemer, the church where I'm a minister. She said that she had gone to a church growing up and she had always heard that God accepts us only if we're sufficiently good and ethical. She'd never heard the message she was now hearing, that we can be accepted by God by sheer grace through the work of Christ, regardless of anything we do or have done. And she said, that is a scary idea. Well, it's good scary, but it's still scary. I was intrigued. I asked her what was so scary about unmerited free grace. She replied something like this: if I was saved by my good works, then there would be a limit to what God could ask of me or put me through. I'd be like a taxpayer with rights. I would have done my duty and now I would deserve a certain quality of life. But if it is really true that I am a sinner saved by sheer grace at God's infinite cost, then there's nothing he cannot ask of me." She could see immediately that the wonderful beyond belief teaching of salvation by sheer grace had two edges to it. On the one hand, it cut away slavish fear. God loves us freely, despite our flaws and failures. Yet she also knew that if Jesus really had done this for her, she was not her own. She was bought with a price. Do you know that that's true for you? Is your life changing as you follow Jesus? Are you generous with your money where before you were not? Are you giving your time and your energy to others where before you were selfish? Are you forgiving people who've hurt you where before you held a grudge and were bitter? Are you determined to stop your sinful habits where before you were just happy to carry on? Are you honest and kind with your words where before you were dishonest and unkind? Do you want to share the good news of Jesus where before you didn't? Now, these things don't rescue us or earn God's love, but they're the response that comes from being rescued by Jesus. Katie and I have been watching Beecham House on ITV on Sundays. It's on Sunday evenings. And there's a bit in it where the main character gets rescued by his friends. The friend shoots a bandit who's about to kill the main character. And the main character says, "I owe you my life for what you've just done." Is that your response to Jesus? I owe you my life. I owe you my everything for what you have done for me. Grace changes us. Look how it changed Jonah from an obstinate rebel running in the wrong direction to a determined preacher going in the right direction. Is grace changing you? Has grace changed you? And if you think not, then the answer isn't to do all those things. The answer is to get grace, is to go back to the cross. Look at Jesus again. His grace changes us. God rescued Jonah from certain death and destruction. It was all God. And he's rescued us through the death and resurrection of his son Jesus. It's all God. Salvation comes from the Lord. What a great and amazing God he is. Shall we pray to him? Father, we thank you so much for this story of Jonah. Thank you for rescuing him and for the way that points forward to your rescue of us through your son Jesus. And we thank you even more for that. Thank you for his willingness to die for us, for his compassion for us who were lost and deserving only judgment. Thank you that he died so that we might live and so that we might know and be forgiven by you, our Heavenly Father. Please help us to trust in him alone and look to him alone. And please help us to change by your Spirit as we delight in your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.